Some of you are probably thinking, I've been here the last 4 weeks and there's been a mistake because Pastor Mike already talked about the Lord's Prayer. But actually, the reason that I had that read again is because there is a sentence in there that kind of, by the way, the nursery is open and, you know, for younger people, so if they desire to go down. But there is a sentence in there that just nags at me every single time, and I felt like I just had to deal with it as a base premise for what I want to speak on today. And lead us not into temptation. You ever struggled with that? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I've prayed those words for decades. I've preached through the Lord's Prayer even recently. Yet every time I come to this line, I find myself almost kind of glitching and thinking, well, you know, He is a good Father. He takes care of us just like we prayed. And yet, lead us not into temptation gives the implication that He could be the leader of sending you into temptation. Now, that kind of, I don't know about you, but that scratches my record. Music's going along fine, and then we're right off that vinyl. But I found that sometimes when we hear this prayer, it's as though we're asking God not to do something that He secretly wants to do. I think you want to lead us into temptation. Please don't. Right? But the key is you must pair it with, but deliver us from evil. Now, these aren't opposing truths, but where I get messed up is James tells us that God never tempts anyone. Okay? And one of the things that I realized is when you think about it, God isn't doing the tempting. He allows the tempting to come to you. Temptation is not a sin. Temptation is when you give in to that sin. And it might not be something that's listed in the Ten Commandments. It could be just something that is out of God's time. I will give you an example. Jesus comes to John the Baptist. He is identified as the Lamb of God who is going to take away the sin of the world, the justifier of humanity. And He submits Himself to baptism. And immediately after that, it says the Spirit, and the word in Greek is the Spirit, drives Him out into the wilderness. He was led into His place of temptation. Before there was ever any ministry, except perhaps the miracle at Cana, before there was ever any miracle, Jesus had to face temptation. Jesus had to submit to the Spirit and be led there. Make no mistake, the temptation was not from God, but the Spirit led Him into an environment where He could be tempted by our opposer. Do you see the difference? Now, another difference with that is that for Jesus, every time He was tempted, it was tempting Him to something that is God-given and is good, but it was not in the right time. Turn this stone into bread. Hey, after 40 days of fasting, I would think bread is good too. And bread is good, isn't it? Is bread a gift from the Father? Absolutely. But the temptation was to use His power to provide for Himself out of time, because He was called there to resist the temptation. And it goes right on through to the point where He was on the pinnacle of the temple and Satan comes and says, look at all the kingdoms of the world. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world and said, I will give all these to you if you bow down to Me and worship Me. Now here's the thing. Who will all the nations ultimately bow down to? Jesus! It was going to happen anyway, but in God's time and in God's way. And every time that there was a temptation, Jesus didn't make something up. He used Scripture. Everything Jesus says is a quote from the Old Testament. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Thou shalt not put the Lord thy God to the test. So, temptation is not the sin. But we'll discover that prayer isn't ultimately about, this prayer isn't ultimately about temptation. It's really about our hearts and the sufficiency of our Heavenly Father. Now, everything begins where Jesus begins in this prayer. Those of you who were here a couple weeks ago, you've already heard this. Hear it again, please. All right? Our Father. It all begins with relationship. And everything else can be judged in the prayer on Father as opposed to our will. What we are looking for, what we want. It's our Father, not our judge, our taskmaster, our boss, our Father. And in case you haven't heard, He's a good, good Father. Maybe it's come out of your mouth too, right? That's why we sing things like that. But Jesus assumes that every path that we walk is under the Father's sovereign care. Every path. And it was only when He exemplified that that He even started ministry. It says after the temptation, He came out and went into ministry in Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit, because His opposer had been defeated. And it is the same way for us. If you want to know about every path, I've mentioned Job before. It is Satan who asks permission from God to tempt Job. It is not God who tempts Job. The problem isn't God's heart. The problem is our heart. Because when you start going through this prayer, it leads to the question, do you trust Him? Do you trust your Father? Let me just stop here and say one truth about us. I think this is fairly universal. You can tell me. We don't mind being led as long as we get veto power over the path and destination. I don't mind you leading me, but please tell me where you're leading me so I know I like it. And I want the power to say, no, let's do another one this time. But that's not what this prayer is about. This is where surrender applies. So why temptation at all? Because it reveals who we are in relationship to the Father. I want you to get a picture of a father and a child walking along a mountain path. Excuse me. There's another part of the ugly. But walking along a path, and it's steep, but it's not treacherous. There are rocks, and there are places where it's slippery, but it comes to a very narrow point. And as they walk along, the footing becomes uncertain. The child doesn't ask, Dad, promise there won't be steep places. Promise there won't be places where I might fall. But he asks, Hey, Dad, I'm scared. Will you hold my hand? And because he's a good, good father, he doesn't turn around and walk away from the hard places, because where he is leading is good. But he takes our hand. And that's what temptation does. It squeezes us enough to know who is our sufficiency. Now I want to read, we've heard this as well. I want to read it again because I want to make sure that we've got all the places in it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Well, that doesn't agree with what I just said, did it? He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's a direct parallel to what we just read in the Lord's Prayer. I will fear no evil, for you are with me, Father. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my best buddies. No. In the presence of my enemies. He prepares the table before us. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. You hear echoes of the Lord's Prayer. At every step of Psalm 23, it is the Lord who is sufficient. It is the Lord who is good, not us. And the same thing happens in the Lord's Prayer. Psalm 23 and the Lord's Prayer. I want to make sure that that line, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, is clear. We are praying that because we are aware of our own insufficiency. How do we fight evil? How do we even recognize it? How do we overcome it? So we are afraid of it, and lead us not into temptation, but when the time comes, deliver us from evil, just as he delivers the sheep in the valley of the shadow of death. The shepherd never promised that the valleys wouldn't exist. The shepherd promised he would be with us in the valley. We often define God's goodness as keeping us safe from danger or in the midst of danger, but in reality, Scripture really defines that his goodness is keeping us safe all the way through the danger. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Both of these deliver a final destination. And you're going to get there just fine because he is good. But he's never protected his children from danger. Look at the children in the middle of the Red Sea. Think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel in the lion's den. Moses in front of Pharaoh. The Father leads, but the Father also delivers. He delivers. The one who leads always delivers. I'll add in one more story, and that's the story of Peter. He becomes our mirror. Jesus warned him and said, Satan, or again, see that parallel? Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. Not God. And who did Satan ask? God and Jesus. But Jesus says, I have prayed for you. So he didn't save him from the time of trial. We know that when the guards came to take Jesus, Peter's first impulse was to fight. He drew his sword, cut off the ear of one of the servants of the high priest. His second impulse was to run. He ran with all the other disciples. His third impulse was to follow. Hey, you got it right. No, from a distance, in the dark, where they couldn't see. Or maybe he had had opportunity to run again if he needed to. He finally gets in the courtyard of the high priest. And after being asked three times if he was part of Jesus, and he denied it every single time, he realized that Jesus was right. Because you see, when we get on that steep ledge, when we are going through the valley of the shadow, when we are in the time of temptation, it all shows us who we are. And we don't often like that picture. And I think for me, that's ultimately why I don't like temptation. I think I'm strong, and temptation shows me I am weak. But my friends, every single thing in this prayer is because we are weak. Our Father who is in heaven, the all-powerful and the all-sufficient one, who, by the way, is God, and I realize I am not. Holy is your name. I know I am not holy. I need his holiness. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth here, on earth as it is in heaven. We have our own way of doing things, and sometimes we actually get a little mad when he butts in and does things anyway. Well, are you my parent again? Our Father. Okay. Whoops. And we can go on through it. And this temptation part, again, identifies we are insufficient in ourselves. But take this. We want to maintain our grip on things, and each petition in this prayer, we're holding on to things tight. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come on earth as it is. Give us this day our daily bread. Bread. Even our bread comes from heaven. We're going to have lunch today. It is by his hand. And each one of these prayers, each one of these sections of this prayer peels our fingers open so that we can once again take the hand of our Father. Have you ever tried to lead a child that had a fist? It's darn near impossible. You have no leverage. If they slip, it's going to slip right outside of your hand. When we have the clenched fist, it's not our fault if you don't feel God's hand on it. Worship team, would you please come forward? Please realize that in all of these instances, we are simply children holding our Father's hand. Isn't that beautiful? And as we walk along, we have scripture in our hearts, don't we? The Father isn't inviting us to become so that we become fearless. It's quite the opposite. He is inviting us to engage and destroy our fear because we know the presence of a good, good Father. He's inviting us to become trusting in the face of our trials. And that's all that it is. The Father is inviting you to stop walking in your best guess. In other words, your gut feeling. He's inviting you to try and stop trying to engage your wishes, which is unrealized planning. He's inviting you to stop doing things by your instinct. In other words, your gut feeling. He's inviting us, even though we are broken, broken without him, to trust him, because his hand is more trustworthy than your own. Your hand cannot save you. This is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. The end of today's questions is not about leading us into temptation. It's about getting us home. I want to be home. I think I know what it is, but it's going to be better than what I can even imagine. Life at home is good here. How much better in the heavenly kingdom? But our prayer tells us of a sure end. Not a watering hole, not a valley, not a pasture, not even a table, but his home forever. Think of that.